So I wanted to take a look at our operations in South Sudan and understand both the risks and the opportunities. Right now, our total U.S. aid package to South Sudan is $700 million a year, a little bit more than that, more than 500 of which is for humanitarian assistance. And I will tell you what I saw is a country that is rich, a country that is endowed with natural resources. It has good soil and water and sun, and yet it's been unable to develop due to a crisis in governance and unending war. And so we need to make sure that the people of South Sudan have some hope and some future, and that's going to require an end to conflict.
On the your interaction with the ordinary people in Bentiu, what stories did they share with you, and what did you learn?
I had a wonderful visit to Bentiu, and I saw the resilience and the strength of the people of Bentiu. I also saw despair and dysfunctionality. There is no reason 100,000 people should be in this camp. They need to have peace and stability. They need to get on with their lives. They need basic services and economic opportunity. And it was very clear to me that conflict causes the de-devolution of, or the de-development of a country and of a people. The 100,000 people in Bentiu are probably have great capability, probably have the opportunity to produce jobs and create products and to sell to the world, and yet they're stuck in a situation that just inhibits their chance. And I will tell you the other two striking experiences that I had. One was listening to the women, and I was with the ambassador, Molly Fee, and the women described the need to go out and get firewood. And with 100,000 people, they have to go further and further to get firewood every day. And when they go out of the camp to get firewood, they're often assaulted and raped. And it's a horrible situation for a woman to be in. And then she comes, then she gets her firewood and she comes back and she has to make the same decision the following day. That's atrocious. And that's something that should not stand. The other striking experience that I had was my two other quick striking experiences. So I carried a young woman's water from the water pump to her house. And I am not an old man or a weak guy. And let me tell you, it's not easy carrying that water half a kilometer back to her house. And imagine the cost, the challenges of having to live like that every day. I mean, it's just actually outrageous. Last thing on a positive note was I played football with some young teenagers, and they showed the spunk and the spirit and the hope for the future that you would strive for in any community. And so when I had a chance to play football with them, I felt enlivened and excited.
All right. Now, maybe that's it's really very interesting story there. Now, can you tell us more about USAID programs in South Sudan? You mentioned earlier from the beginning.
The United States is the largest provider of humanitarian assistance in South Sudan, having provided close to $2 billion since the start of the conflict in 2013. And our assistance on a day-to-day basis has helped to avert famine over the last 2 years and has supported about 1.3 million people every single month. And I need to just describe for you the cost of working in a broken system. So imagine that fertile country. Imagine people at peace and women and men being able to create and to grow food and to sell to the world. But instead, we buy food from farmers in the middle of America. We ship it by train to a port. We put it on a ship. We take the ship all the way around to the Horn of Africa. We unload it. We put it on trucks. We take it to either Juba or some other point, and in many instances have to then fly the food in and airdrop it into places like Bento. Now, the cost of operations are outrageous and extraordinary. It's not sustainable, but what would be sustainable is if the government and all the leaders and all the fighters put down their arms and decided to create inclusive functional institutions, that there was opportunity for those people. And then we could use that money instead of shipping it by, you know, boat and truck and train and plane, we could use that money to help provide education and health for the people. So this is where we are in South Sudan. We're there. We want to stick by the people. The people deserve help. They deserve hope. And the American people want to stand by them. But at the same time, the war's got to end.
Yes. Now, what are the most or the urgent needs on the ground right now in South Sudan, particularly the areas you visited?
You know, what struck me is the fact that 100,000 people live in a closed space and look, they're receiving protection within that closed space. But the schooling ends at primary school. The access to water is less than 15 liters per person per day, which is below the critical emergency levels. There are no opportunities. I had a chance to buy some beads, some very nice handiwork from widows. And you know what? The South Sudanese people have talent. They could actually produce things and sell things to the world. And so what they need is this time and space to develop, and that requires an end to the conflict.
Good. Now, about your USAID responding to the humanitarian crisis in South Sudan, in terms of, for instance, how much is it costing your government or the U.S. government?
Right. Well, let me begin by just noting that the first cost are the cost of the 67 humanitarian aid workers that have been killed since December of 2013. And the other cost is those that are missing, harassed, assaulted, expelled, exploited. So that environment for delivering humanitarian assistance and protecting the most vulnerable has real costs besides just financial costs. We are facing a globe that has many, many challenges, many, many crises. We're responding in Mosul and Syria, and we have challenges in Nigeria and drought in El Nino, in Southern Africa, and in Ethiopia. And yet, the war and the spillover, did you know that 2,500 South Sudanese people go every day into Uganda? Every single day, they travel through the bush and arrive exhausted and tired in Uganda. And 1,200 every single day, primarily women and children, arrive in Gimbala camp in Ethiopia. And we saw those people, and they were tired and exhausted and stressed and grateful that they're not being in harm's way. And the same in Kenya. And so what really the real cost, and, you know, the cost right now, $700 million that we're putting in for both humanitarian assistance and development aid, that's, you know, that's the absolute dollar amount, but the real cost is the suffering of the people.
What will be, USAID top priorities for South Sudan in the coming years?
Our top priority is peace and stability, then development. We're going to help people in need. Let me just be very clear by that. So somebody that needs food or medicine, we will help. But frankly, we don't want to give bags of food, and people don't want to receive bags of food. What they want are basic services, a chance to educate their kids, and a chance to live in dignity with economic opportunity. And that's what we would like to do. We would like to spend our money on development rather than humanitarian response.